How many of you hosted this week? Y'all did. Y'all hosted well this week. That word last week was real significant, guys. It had a lot of weight on it. I'm still processing and letting God mature that. On how we host the world. Because we believe that we have the kingdom of heaven within us. If we don't, what's our foundation? We just sang about the body and the blood that was given for us to redeem us. So we believe and know that Christ is within us and that His kingdom world is within us and in our world and all around us. So why wouldn't we want to invite and host the world into that? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we think that our story is amazing when He's in the middle of it? We say He's amazing, but we think our story is nothing. Well, man, you add Him in that ingredient, then it becomes amazing. That's something amazing about us, and I think our life's amazing. But the only thing amazing about our lives, He's in the middle of it. And everybody in here could say that. That's what makes it, wow. He's in the middle of it. And it's all about Him, and it's all about His redemptive work. It's all about His nature of love. As they were singing that song in You Live and Move and Have My Being, I flipped over to Acts 17. That's where that comes out of, Paul's sermon on Mars Hill to the Greeks and in Athens. And he's sitting there and he's trying to explain these educated people that were the cultural epicenter of the earth at that time. And he was explaining to them about this God. They had many gods they worshiped, temples everywhere. We've been there. I've stood on Mars Hill. And everywhere you look, there's temples to different gods. Even today. And he noticed one, and it was to the unknown God. And he stood there and he said, this God, you worship Him. You ignorantly worship Him, but yet you worship Him. And he was trying to tell them who this God was. And he was inviting them into His world. And that's the thing I want us to get, is it's a simple invitation of inviting the world into our world. Because my world is something. Because He's in the middle of it. My marriage is something because He's in the middle of it. My children are something because He's in the middle of it. This is something because He's in the middle of it. He orchestrates all of this, and it's so beautiful. Man, I walk in this morning, and man, just the stage is full of worshipers and all of that, you know, an hour and a half before church starts. And it was just beautiful. And next week when everybody's on vacation and there's three of us up here, it'll be beautiful too. It'll be beautiful too. Marty, you got anything, amigo? You good? Sure? Lori? I told him, I said, all right, guys. I said, I don't have this big structure thing. If you've got something burning in you, stirring in you. Nick? Y'all good? Man, all right. I'm gonna break one verse out on you guys and expound on it for just a minute. I'll probably shock Aaliyah. Y'all turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. I'm in the King James. When we were singing that song a while ago, and it said that there's manna everywhere I go, the Honey in the Rock song. And saying there's manna everywhere I go. And I love the fact that God meets us where we're at and He provides for us where we're at. And all these different stages in our life. I mean, so you're in a totally different stage of life, obviously. My grandchildren are in a totally different stage. And we think we've all got to go to this place to meet God, to encounter God, and to be provided for by God. That I've got to... Heck, even the Samaritan woman was talking to Jesus about this at the well. She said, your fathers say we've got to go here, and my fathers say we've got to go here. And Jesus said, the Father's looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I love, and to me, the thing that is so awesome, and it's what we're going to see in this scripture in a second, is that God meets us exactly where we are at whatever stage we're in, whatever we're placing we're in. There was manna when I was indifferent. There was manna when I was immature. There was manna when I was an infant. And we look, I'm talking about my infancy in my faith. And we look at our kids and we always say, man, don't grow up. God, you know, we like it where they are. And we get and we want them to be kids. We want them to be the teenager, because before you turn around, man, it's going to be Granddaddy Mad Dog, you know. He was the original Madeline. You know, she's about to go to Georgia, and you're like, oh, man, I wish one more year. One more year in high school. And Trevor, man, just stay where you are. And we get it in the natural. Sydney Hannah's, Lord, she's about to turn 13, you know. She's got a little boyfriend, you know, and from homeschool group and all that stuff. And Lori was telling her, she says, now, and he's into, you know, he's a country kid, farm boy. He's into riding horses, did a little bit of rodeo stuff, you know, but he's into horses and all that. And Lori's like, hey, do you and, I'm on his name, do y'all want to... We'll go horseback riding and he can come and y'all can ride with us. And Sydney Hannah's like, oh no, that'd be too much like a date. And I'm like, stay like that for 10 more years. Because I don't want her to grow up too fast. And we have this heart and understand that in the natural, but the Father has that same heart in the spiritual. Not that He doesn't want us to grow up, but He still enjoys where you are right now. In this process, in the journey. And He meets you right there. And I really want to take the pressure off you in this faith thing, because it can be intimidating. Religion has made it ridiculous. You know why the Jews struggled so bad? They had 600 and something laws they had to adhere to. 600 and something. Sometimes I just struggle with the 10 basic ones, right? And they had 600 and something impossible to do. And we come in and we're taught sin management, and we're taught you got to do this and do this. And then if you want to hear from God, then you got to be this person up here. And so what we do is we're like, well, I can't, we throw up our hands, I can't hear from God, I'm just a regular guy. So I'll hear see what God's saying to Bill Johnson, or Damon Thompson, or Mike Bickle. And I'll live my life vicariously through them. I mean, that's what we're doing on Instagram a lot, right? We're living our life vicariously through somebody else's life, somebody else's adventures. And God's like, I want you to live yours. I want you to live yours. Where you are, there is manna where you are at. There is manna where your foot steps. So I really want to wipe out all this pressure of I've got to be this, or I've got to become that, and then God will do something, then God will say something, then I can host somebody. And God just wants you to host where you're at. Man, they go through some of our stuff, but our grandkids are always like making these concoctions. They like to cook and different stuff like that. But they'll get the blender out. Any kind of, you know, fresh something we have, it's going in the blender and they're making a smoothie. You know, for us, for whoever. Sometimes they'll want to sell it and sometimes it's free. But I'm like, y'all just wiped out $15 worth of fruit on that experiment. But you know what they're really wanting to do? They're wanting to host. They're saying, welcome into my world in what I just created. They don't even know it yet, but that's what they're wanting to do. So they're wanting to host. And I'll buy $15 worth of fruit all day, every day to help facilitate that. And God's wanting us to be who we are, live our life, and see him there, meet him there, experience him there, hear his voice there. Because he don't want Sydney Hannah to be 15. He likes her at 12. And when she's 13, he'll like her at 13. And he loves her in high school, but when she gets to college, he's going to be like, got me a college girl now. Let me see what I can do with this. And there'll be manna at UGA. There'll be manna there. Just look around and see it and feel it and experience it. Let's read this verse. Man, I know I'm rough on you guys. Do y'all want to sit down? Are y'all okay? I'm like just a few more minutes. Y'all good? I like the music going today for some reason, man. It's kind of cool. I like that vibe. You know, when they were doing some of that temple stuff, man, it was like, I know they had shifts, but it was like long shifts. And they'd just come in and just worship until their fingers bled. And then they'd eventually get calluses. Deuteronomy 29. This is Moses and one of his last sermons to the children of Israel. We all know who Moses was. He led the children out. God used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Unfortunately, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years out of a lack of faith, unbelief. But this is a point that they're about to go into the promised land this time. And he's preaching these sermons at the end to all of these thousands and thousands and thousands of children of Israel and their leaders. And he's basically saying there's two ways that you can live. You have two ways you can live. And we talk about, man, I can live 100 different. No, there's two ways you can live. You can live in him or you can live outside of him. That's the only two ways. You can live in him or you can live outside of him. And Moses is talking to them and telling them this. Just a side note on this. Everybody came out of Egypt, but everybody didn't go into the promised land. Everybody came out. Man, I see a picture of the church in that. People get saved. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody's coming out. But there's this place, there's this promised land that God has an inheritance for them. for each tribe, for each individual. When God promised this promised land, it was to all 12 tribes. And we know the story that there were, what, 2.5 tribes that didn't go in? Because they got to this side and they said, man, this is good enough. But God's inheritance was everything that's on the other side of the Jordan. I think it was the east side. And he said, that's your inheritance. That's your inheritance. Your inheritance. And if God says my inheritance is on the other side of the Jordan River, I don't want to live on this side. I don't care how good it looks. Because the tribes that remained on that, they did some good stuff. They went and helped fight. They fought for the other tribes. They helped conquer the land, but they said, you know, this is good for cattle. This is good for grazing, so we're okay living here. And the only problem was that wasn't the life that God had for them. I hear Bill Johnson say this, and I believe it 1,000%. He said, if you ever truly believed who God created you to be, dreamed you to be, you would never want to be anybody else. If you truly understood who you were and the life that you had, or that he had for you, Keith Carter, you would never want to be anybody else. And he said, I've got this promised land for you. And so often we settle for somebody else's dream. We settle for somebody else's life. We settle for something that's okay, that something is good enough. Better than most. And y'all have heard me say this and admonish you and encourage you in this 1,000 times. Don't settle. I tell it to single girls, single women, single men. Don't settle and looking for. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle for the west side when God promised you the east. Don't settle for that when he said, Brett, this is the life that I have for you. Never be satisfied with anybody else's life. I'm going to live this. And I like this scripture, man. The Lord just, he brought, reminded me of it. It was already underlined, highlighted in my Bible. But this is part of Moses' sermon. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, they belong unto us and to our children forever. That we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong unto the Lord. But those things which are revealed are ours. It's ours. Man, I'm going to be the first to stand up here and say, I do not have all the answers. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I don't know why this goes on and this goes on and this goes on. I don't understand healing. All of those things belong to God right now. But the things that have been revealed to me are mine. And to my children's, my grandchildren, it's ours. The things have been revealed. So he said, those things that you have, do them. Do them. And be content doing them. Be in a place of peace in doing them. Be in a place of hope doing them. Be in a place of excellence doing them. Be in a place of passion doing them. And then when God builds on that, then all of a sudden your tent's expanded. When God builds on that, your life's expanded. When God builds on that, your faith is expanded. When God builds on that, your hope is expanded. And then you do that. Don't try to do what in this moment it's I don't want to say beyond our reach, but we haven't come into that fullness yet. But what is in front of you, that's what you do. I absolutely love your, and it inspires me is James' understanding and approach to ministry. See, when I came through, you get a call for more of God, and everybody all of a sudden says, well, you called to preach. You're called to preach. You're called to preach. Man, I'm just hungry for God. Well, you're called to preach. Like that was an abnormal thing to be hungry for God. And so you want to put that mantle on you. And James is just like, man, I just do what's in front of me. If that's breaking the bread of the word, then I break the bread of the word. If it's leading worship, I lead in worship. If it's leading prayer, I'll lead in prayer. Just do whatever, but what's in front of me. This is what I know, and this is who I am, so that's what I do. That's what I do. I look at the animal kingdom, and I don't like coyotes because they'll get a calf every once in a while. When I'm in Africa, I don't like hyenas. I'm like, give me a 300 Win Mag and we'll do business out here. But in reality, you know what a coyote is doing? A coyote is just doing what a coyote is. And I can't hate them for that. Hyena's just doing what a hyena is. They're doing what they were created to do. And I want us to get into this place of peace and this place of rest where we do what's been given us. We do what's in front of us. We flourish in what we know. And then he adds to that. We host how we know to host. And then he adds to that. And what happens in this, guys, is it takes the pressure off of us. That I got to make it happen. I've got to be something I'm not. I've got to be this, or I've got to be this. You know, we hear the phrase and use the phrase being comfortable in your own skin. Be comfortable in his skin. You say, man, preacher, you talk about I have to be like Jesus and all of that. Yeah. But you know what? Jesus one time was a 12-year-old boy. And the word said he grew in spirit, favor, wisdom. He grew in those things. Just want you to flow his breath. I'm in a ridiculously, I think I could say this for me and Lori, we're in a ridiculously peaceful place right now in our life because we are like super comfortable with who we are and we're not trying to be anybody else. We say it all the time, man, I know people think we're weird, but we're so cool with who we are. We are so comfortable with who we are. And it's liberating, guys. It's liberating. I'm not trying to figure out how everybody else does church and follow that model and that pattern and all of that stuff. And let's figure out all of this, you know, do the Chick-fil-A model and that's the way we'll grow it and do it and all that stuff. Man, I just want to come in and enjoy him. I want to come into a place of companionship with him. I want to come into a place of fellowship with him. I want to come in this love place with him. Whatever that looks like. Whatever it looks like. And that's where God wants you to live, to be. I'm going to read this one more time. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all. those things which are revealed belong unto us. That's all he asks. What's been revealed to you? Then do that. Do that. What's been brought into your world? Do that. Your world, host in that. I have to host in my world. Host in your world. Host the world in your world. Because God's going to bring this fear into your world that won't respond in my world, but it'll respond in your world. That's the beauty of it. You've got a unique and dynamic as an individual. That's who God wants you to be, flowing that. You've got a unique dynamic as a couple. That's who God brought you in this place together to be. Flow in that. Flow in that. Rest in that. Be cool in that. You know, be cool with that's what I'm trying to say. It's liberating. It's liberating. It is liberating. There's only one Alex Pope. Be that Alex Pope. It's liberating. Liberating. Because he finds you fascinating. He absolutely finds you fascinating. And he loves being in the middle of your world. And that's a good place for other people to come and let you host them. Because he's there. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you all that. That's what makes you all that. Not what you wear, what you drive, what your experiences are. It's who you are in Him. It's a pretty simple formula, isn't it? Doesn't sound complicated, does it? That's the genuineness that will touch the world. I don't think that the answer for the world is another Billy Graham or a whatever that we try to create this superstar empire. That's not the answer for the world. They're just looking for genuine men and women, genuine kids that are convinced in who He is and who they are in Him. I love it. I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but in Romans 8, I think there's three or four different times in Romans 8 that the Apostle Paul comes in and he says, I am convinced. And I'm convinced we're on the right path. I'm convinced we're on the right path. It's me and Lori like to hike a lot, and we've got these apps. It's All Trails. And if I download I can be offline, but if I've downloaded a trail that I'm hiking, it'll show the route on it and all of that. And it'll track me. And if I get off route, I'll see that my point in this line, they're a little bit separated. But I'm moving in the right direction. And I know that if I converge and come back over, you know what? I'll get right back on the right trail. I like having that true north, I guess, the thing that brings us back into this place. This is for something like hiking, but that's Him and that's the Holy Spirit. And that's why, with confidence, I was having a conversation this week, and somebody was asking me, what God's doing right now, what God's saying right now, and you know what's happening in Victory right now, and all that. And you know, of course, we were talking about beloved identity, and I was talking about the hosting And he said, dive deeper in that. I want to understand what you're talking about hosting. And so I began to share and to kind of do a deep dive in that. But I'm like the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. I'm convinced that the path that we're on is the right path. And I told him, I said, man, I don't worry. There are some non-negotiables, okay, guys, in our faith. The blood of Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, those are non-negotiables. But I said, my theology is constantly changing. And that's okay. He's saying something about, you know, man, Jesus has got to be about to come back and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't think that. I wouldn't be an argumentative, but I was like, I don't think that. I'm not even sure what I feel about heaven right now. Is it going to be there? Is it going to be here? It's going to be somewhere. We'll be there. But the Bible tells me I'm seated in heavenly places right now. But my point in all that is that I'm okay in that being fluid. Because what I do know is I'm loved by Him intensely. I'm saved by Him. I'm redeemed by Him. I'm invited into union with Him, and He has come in union with me. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul says one of the things that he's convinced of is that there is absolutely nothing on this planet, nothing in any realm that can separate us from His love. I'm convinced of this. Nothing can separate me from that. And so, in that, I live, move, have my being, have my identity. In that. In Him. It's not a far off. It's right now. You say, man, I feel like I'm a wreck sometimes and I'm a mess. You are. And so am I. But there's manna right there. There's manna right there. I feel like I've circled this mountain 6 times. Maybe you have. But there's manna right there. He is there. And He's loving. And He's walking this thing out with you. God loves to walk. God loves to walk. When we feel guilty that we're dragging God around this mountain, He's like, I like to walk. As long as I'm walking with you. And we're out in the bush a couple weeks ago, and Lori's like, all right, look, we got to do some condition, we got to do some walking while we're here. Well, they got to send people with you, you know, so you don't get eaten by a lion or something. So we're out doing these midday walks, you know, and we're like, one of them I did like 5 miles, and I kind of felt bad because, man, these guys want to be taking a nap and they're out walking with this gringo, and I'm like, you know, talking with a guy, and I like him and all of this stuff, you know, and we're conversing and everything. And I'm like, man, I kind of feel bad about you guys having to escort me around out here and all this. I'm just trying to get some conditioning and all that. And he looked at me and just with the most sincere look you could ever see. And he said, it's okay. We love to walk. And God spoke to me. And I'm like, God, I'm marching around this mountain and I have screwed up and I have messed up. And I'm sorry that I'm dragging you around this with me. And I feel like God looks at me with the most sincere look. And He said, it's okay, Sid. I like to walk. I like to walk with you, Marty. Why she go to all these obscure places that I drag her off to all around everywhere? Because she likes to be with me. She don't fly fish. She don't pull a trigger on a rifle. She'll shoot birds, but she pull a trigger on a rifle. But she likes to be with me. And the beauty of it is God is crazy about you, and He just likes to be with you. Likes to be with you. So this morning, I feel like wherever you are in your station in life, where you are in this place in your life, I want you to know two things. That there's manna there, and He looks at you with all sincerity and all love, and He said, "It's okay, I like to walk." It's okay, I like to walk. He'll even take it a step further, Brother Keith. He'll say, "Can we hold hands while we walk? I'm sorry I've drug you off to this godforsaken backside of the mountain again." He said, "That's all right. Can we hold hands?" I find that beautiful about Him. Salah. Y'all think on that, soak on that, chew on that. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, worship team. Y'all are a beast. I appreciate y'all.
Hey, Sid, I want to add one thing to that.
Yes, sir. You can add all you want to.
In the story, in the Word, and I can't tell you exactly where it's at, but when they cross over, we're supposed to talk on this. When they cross over into the promised land, there's a statement in there. It says, "In that day, the manna stopped." They'd been living off manna for 40 years. And then it stopped. And you're like, "Well, it's go time now. We're on our own." That's my thought when I read that. We're on our own. What we have to recognize in our each individual journey that each one of us is on is how to recognize manna. Because they were never on their own. It looked different. That manna changed. It went from literally bread that would appear out of nowhere on the ground in the morning that you just literally had to pick it up and put it in a jar and eat it. It turned into wild animals, and it turned into the corn and the wheat that was growing on that land. And it looked different. We thought, "Well, we're having to do this ourselves." No, we're not doing it ourselves. It looks different. And if we ever want to get to the place that God wants us to go, we've got to learn how to see what manna is. In the Civil War, history, the Union could not beat the South because they would come down South and the Union beat them on the battlefield, but what they would do is destroy their supply line. They would destroy their supply line. They would come and the cavalry would go and it would stop their supply line. So the farther they got away from their line, the farther they were into enemy territory, they couldn't, and they'd get beat back, and they'd get beat back. And that's the big scale of the war. That's what was happening. And so one day, a general said, "You know what? I'm going to give orders, and I want you to stop worrying about your supply line." This is Grant telling Sherman, and we hate Sherman because we're in Georgia. But he told him, "Forget it. Live off the land. I'm not sending wagons. I'm not sending you supplies. You live off the land. You live off what's in front of you. If we're going to win this war, if we're going to do this thing that we've been called to do, if I'm going to accomplish this mission, then I've got to recognize what manna is. And it's no longer this supply line that's coming to me. It's that pig in that lot over there, and it's that wheat right there. And you know what? We're going to take it because we have something to do." I'm not saying you should steal stuff, but still. We got to recognize when it changes. If they had crossed the Jordan and said, "All right, where's the manna?" Didn't see any manna. Said, "Well, this isn't going to work," and headed back across. What would have happened? And we're so afraid to say, "God, what is new? What is different in this season of life? What do I need to see differently in this season of life for you to take me to the next level?" Well, that's all our life is just changing seasons. That's all it is. But He doesn't change. His love for me doesn't change. His overall outcome that He wants for my life, it's still there. But if I'm so used to this is how it's got to be, This is what it looks like. And I've got to, this is how Sid does it. Sid has a unique calling, guys. You have a unique calling. All right? I don't have to do it like you. You don't have to do it like me. If you're trying to do it like me, you're messing up. I'm the only person that can do it like me. All right? You can ask my wife. I'm a very individual person. There's nobody else like me in this world. So if you're trying to do it like I'm doing it, you are going to fail. It's going to mess up. If I try to live my life like Sid Garner, and I'm going to go to this place and I'm going to minister to that person just like Sid did, well, what good are you doing? So let's see what that manna is. Let's see what you are called to do. Let's learn how to recognize what God's saying. I was like, okay, well, you know, I was spoon-feeding you this stuff right here, but you know what? I've matured you to the point, and you've gotten to a place in your journey now that you've wandered for 40 years. Maybe that's what you've done. You've wandered for 40 years. Guess what? It's time for you to learn how to do something else. It's time for you to learn how to go out and kill a deer. It's time for you, whatever it is. I'm still providing it for you. I'm still there. I haven't left you. You're not on your own. That doesn't happen. Once you're a child, you're always a child. They're never on their own. Noah, Peyton, y'all were married. You're not on your own. You know that. You got more responsibility. You got more things that you've got to do. You know, bills. But at the end of the day, you're not on your own. And how much more is our Heavenly Father? How much more?
All right. Y'all slide together and grab somebody's hand. If you need to swap places, Errol, you can. Yeah. Here's what I want you to do in this moment as we close in this prayer. I want you to pray for not yourself. I want you to pray for the person that you're holding their hand. That they would live their life in their inheritance. Like I said, if God said, your inheritance is this, I don't want you living anywhere else. Care what the grass looks like. So I want you to pray that this person would live their life in what has been revealed to them in Christ. We're not getting outside of Christ. What's been revealed to them, that's theirs. That's part of your inheritance, is the revelation that you have. And that's ever expanding. So I want you to pray that she would live in that. It's getting way bigger than geography and all of that stuff. But that's what you're praying for, that person, all right? Whew. Yeah. I'm going to get up here with you guys. Man, I'm going to hold your hand, okay, girl? Yeah. Oh, man. Father, I thank you for all of these people that are here today. I thank you for the ones that are not here. I pray, Father, since I'm holding her hand, I pray for Madeline right now. That she would understand who she is in you, so that she would never want to be anybody else. She would understand who you've created and designed her to be, so that she would never want to be anybody else. I pray that she lives in her inheritance, in her place that is ever expanding, that's ever growing. It's ever changing. And yet it stays the same in being centered in you. It's just enlarging. The center stays the same, but the boundaries expand. And I pray, Father, that she would flourish in this world. In the world that you have designed for her, that you have created for her, in the place that you would that you have for her. You told Abraham to follow you and you would show him a place. And I pray that her journey would be in her expanding place. In her expanding place. And I pray she would flourish there. Pray that she would host there. She would host there. She would host well there. And I pray that for every person that's in this house this morning. Every person in this house this morning, that they would flourish in their place in you. They would rest in their place in you. They would host in their place in you. And let them know it's their place. It's ours. It's ours. This world is ours. I pray they would flourish in that, Father. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness to us, your heart for us. And I thank you that you like to walk, Lord. I thank you like to walk for my sake and for the sake of all these people that are here. You still show up for the walk. When Adam sinned, you still showed up for the walk. I thank you like to walk with us. It's in Jesus' name we ask all these things. In Jesus' name we place all of our hope today. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hope y'all have a